Welcome one and all to Last Stop Penn Station podcast featuring Carrie Silkin and Ian Riccoboni. They dive deep into Carrie's wealth of stories, and no subject is off limits. From the world of wrestling to his ticket agency, growing up in New Jersey, drug-fueled underground days, hustling in the French Quarter of New Orleans, and endless days and nights in New York City, every story is worth telling.
Everybody, welcome back. It is another edition of Last Stop Penn Station. Carrie, we're back from Baltimore, and what a trip it was.
A great trip, and this is our, it's a funny night. The sun is red. You pointed it out.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it at first.
It's hiding.
It was hiding behind a tree, but we found it, and it's, you know, it's our special sunny summer edition of Last Stop Penn Station. I really like this time towards the end of July because it's not August yet, where we know things are going to slowly, you know, you're still going to get hot weather. But this late July patch is really good. So it's our special summer's edition.
The summer sizzler.
The hotbed.
Yeah. Yeah. The sun was blood red orange. It was like a blood orange today.
And you're telling me it's from the terrible wildfires.
I read in the morning call, and they
might be one of the only people who reads them.
Right. Ever since they did that,
delivered?
I used to. And then I realized I wasn't reading the physical copy. So it comes into my email every morning. It's there about 6 o'clock. And go to the gym, walk on the treadmill, I read it, read the top stories, and just kind of close it up and call it a day.
But what are you looking at? An iPad?
No, just on my phone. I have the big Samsung Note, so it's big. You can read it real easy. And they even noted that, hey, this is going to be beautiful, but please remember that this is because of these unfortunate wildfires out in Oregon. So,
well, for the last forevers, there's always these wildfires, it seems, in California.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of them practically near, like, the beaches of Malibu. You know, where there's that Route 1 with the beach on the, if you were going north, the beach on the left, and these small mountains, I forget the name of them, but right there. Anyway.
Pacific Coast Highway?
Yeah, you're riding up Pacific Coast Highway. But there's been these fires in California forever.
Right.
And, and now there's supposed to be like 50 of these things. Yeah. Especially like in Idaho and Oregon.
They're moving north, yeah.
And Washington State, and one of them was as big as the city of Portland.
That's pretty crazy.
But anyway, what I was trying to get to was that since we've been hearing about this for so long, and I'm not saying they're making it up, but you'd think the whole damn West would be burned down.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand how there's these massive fires. Credit to the firefighters who are maintaining them or concealing, you know, keeping them in one spot, because it boggles my mind too. I've been to Oregon. I think you have also. It is a wooded area through and through, including the city of Portland. I mean, there's, besides the rivers and things, like there's trees everywhere. It's beautiful. You know, it's surrounded by those hills, and you can take the bridge into Portland. I see the big neon sign, the big Portland sign. And so I don't know how the whole city's, you know, thankfully it's not. Thankfully they're.
Well, I know it was like 120 degrees in Seattle or thing like that.
Yeah. It's record heat. I mean, and, you know, everybody, a couple of people on Twitter were saying, you know, this isn't, you know, we can all do our best and try and recycle our plastics and our cans, but we need to do more than that as people. And reduce pollution, reduce all that fun stuff to get these temperatures back at a normal level.
Okay. Well, if this, what is visually a pretty sun is being caused by this.
Yeah.
And it's 3,000 miles away. It's pretty scary.
It is. It is. And we have a warning about being outside for prolonged periods also right now.
Really?
Of this. Yeah. I think it's don't be outside longer than 30 minutes.
Why?
At a clip. Because of the dirt in the air, essentially. It's from the wildfires all the way across the country.
What if you live right there?
Yeah, I know. That's even scarier because you're staying inside, right? But on some happier news.
Yes.
We didn't have to stay inside in Baltimore. I got to do whatever I wanted this time around. No bubble. No bubble.
Yeah, and we even talked about it, I believe, over the last episode or two when we had Mike G. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if I was, I thought I was going to go, but I wasn't sure about going. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. But man, for a young man like you, it's like playing guitar, like ringing a bell, going down there.
Yeah.
But that was a rough trip. Leaving Saturday, I left Saturday at noon.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think it would be that bad.
You took the blue route, right? 495.
I took the 495. Yeah. It was fine up until that.
476, rather, yeah.
Up until that split.
Oh, into 95.
Why did they slow down?
I don't know. Carrie, I went to the Monster Factory this weekend to do a camp.
I have that on my list here.
Oh, yeah. But I'll say the GPS for the first time in my life took me around that. Because to get there, 476 to 95 south to exit 4, which is the Commodore Barry. So you're only on 95 for
half
second.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah, it's down by the casino, down by where the Union play. But you know, you're only on it for a mile, but it took me physically off of it took me to exit 3, and I just snaked through neighborhoods I've never seen before and went that way. So that is
still had to take a while.
It did. It saved me 6 minutes, it said.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a mess.
Yeah, so a week ago Saturday, felt good. I told Gary Juster, you know, I'm on my way. You know, I told him Friday night, get me the room, but mm-hmm. if I'm not going to come Saturday, I'll let you know, mm-hmm. which was fine. And I felt okay Saturday. And I knew I was going to be in trouble possibly with my back and other ailments. But what should have been a three-hour trip, mm-hmm. and then figure you stop. I got to stop once at least.
Yeah.
More came in closer to 4:45.
Yeah.
It was a grind. But I'm glad I went down. I had a good night Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Saw you on the way in?
Well, we'll get to that. I got together with Lethal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. We went out to the fabulous Maryland Live Casino.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a good meal and played some games of chance. No luck. And then when I went back to the hotel, you know, Jay doesn't, he's not a partier. And the guys, there was like 5 or 6 guys in the lobby. I guess because it was the first time of a non-bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, we were clear, especially if you had your vaccine. It was clear to us that the federal guidelines applied. If you have your vaccine, right. you're free to do what you please.
So I wound up hanging out in the lobby with Malonis and Beer City and Dalton, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of the students.
Shane Taylor.
Shane Taylor the whole time.
Yeah.
He was great.
Primal Fear was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Somehow they wangled the UFC. I don't know how it was done.
No, we won't say who did it.
I don't know how it was done.
I know who and I know how, but I don't want to get anybody thrown in jail.
It's no big deal.
So,
yeah, we're not encouraging
piracy.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had the UFC. We should say they had the UFC.
And they got on the bar.
Yeah, the bar paid for it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and then you came moseying in around what, 11:30?
11:30, yeah. Drove straight down from the Iron Pigs.
You probably had no traffic.
None. It was beautiful. It took me away that I'm used to going. It took me out 222 and then down 83, 81, 80, I think it's 83, to... 295, and then you just pull, you take 295, you're right there. And yeah, it was beautiful. No traffic. I had the wrestling podcasts on. It was just beautiful night. It was 75, 80 degrees. It was perfect. I had the windows down for a little bit.
Well, before we move on, we'll try to keep this in chronological order. You have to tell us about your experience. Ian did not only go to the Iron Pigs game.
Right.
He threw out the first bowl.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was neat. And, you know, normally the Iron Pigs, they'll bring in Boy Scouts or they'll bring in Girl Scouts or someone that, you know, did something, you know, a kid that has done something real neat. And they'll usually have 15 or 20 of these folks. So it's a cool experience that a lot of people get to do. But what was neat about this, they saved me for the end. And I got the royal treatment.
What do you mean the end?
Yeah.
So you throw out a bell at the end.
Well, no, they saved me of the group.
Okay.
Among the children and among you know.
They waited at the end of the game. All right, let's bring out Ring of Honor announcer now. Dean Riccoboni.
James Owens. No, but it was very nice because they had, you know, the Rothrock Car Salesman of the Month or whoever, and the Boy Scouts, and yeah, which is very nice for those folks. But they even announced me as, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, that's seen by a million people every week on syndicated television, Allentown Zone from Ring of Honor, Ian Riccoboni. And they gave me this nice kind of hometown thing. And I think one person got excited. I heard one person get, one person knew who I was in the crowd. And I threw a ball. It was low and in. And then the LSG was there. LSG fired it in. LSG threw a rocket.
How did it, wait, hold on. Yeah. I saw something about LSG and cheeseburger.
And cheeseburger. So the Iron Pig said, hey, you're welcome to come. If any of your wrestling friends want to come too, great. We can make a big deal of it. So sure enough, I called up those two gentlemen because I knew they were local and didn't have to be in Baltimore until the next day. And they were there and got them to drive in from Trenton and from Edison, respectively. And we had a good time. The Pigs treated us very well. They gave us great seats. They put us up in one of the boxes. And then after we did the first pitch, we had fun with the mascots. We took pictures with Diggity Dog and Crispy Bacon and Fifi.
I just know Fifi.
Yeah, Fifi's
I don't know Crispy Bacon.
Well, he's the giant bacon. Diggity Dog's the giant hot dog. But
did they feed you any hot dogs?
They did, yeah. We got some food. So it was a good experience. And then as we were eating, you know, I had thrown it out there to the Iron Pigs. I said, hey, this is wonderful. I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I'd always like to have called an inning. I've never called baseball. And maybe if I'm in the booth, I can talk about the pay-per-view. And thank goodness their announcer is a wrestling fan. Their announcer knows Ring of Honor and knew that we did the Garden. He had been to the Rexplex.
Okay.
And he's 33. His name's Mike. He's a really nice dude. And so, yeah, he was like, great. Like, bring him in. And so in the fifth inning, we all went in the booth. And I called a full inning, and I did play by play for a half an inning, which
really,
yeah, they let me indulge. They let me enjoy myself. So
what inning was this?
The bottom of the fifth.
What was the score?
Score, it ended up being,
at that point, was it a close game?
No, 6-1. Ended up being 9-1 at the end of the inning.
So were the Pigs winning?
They're running away with it, yeah.
So when they let you announce, it was like no pressure in the game at that time.
No, it was a nice
fun. But it could have been.
Could have been. Yeah, it was a nice fun night for the Pigs.
Were the Pigs at bat?
They were.
All right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They could have only added on to their lead.
Right, yeah. I got to call a double play, unfortunately. The Pigs were hitting, but that was cool. And, yeah, it was a really fun experience. And you know, I think we've talked about it in the past. I've complained to you that, oh, ESPN will interview me in Sports Illustrated, but I, you know, Allentown never gives me any publicity or press or anything. And that's it, that's changed, and it's nice because Morning Call's done a story. The Iron Pigs treated me like, you know, I'm a returning hero.
No, you are.
No, and
did they honor Cheeseburger or LSU?
They did. Yeah, they threw out a first pitch also. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was.
So from what you're telling me, between the three of you all,
yeah,
and the fire department and the Girl Scouts,
right,
and such and such car lot,
right,
there could have been about a couple dozen first pitches.
I think so. But it's nice because the kids, especially, they get their name on the board and they announce them and they show the video. But it was neat. They gave my credentials. You know, they made sure to let the people know I was from Allentown and let the people know I was with Ring of Honor. And that was pretty cool. It was really neat to be there with Cheeseburger and LSG. And we had a lot of fun. LSG is a huge baseball fan. He's a huge Mets fan. But he said that was the nicest ballpark, minor league ballpark he's ever been to. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I was wondering, because I saw those guys the next day. So you drove down after the Pigs game.
Yeah.
I saw you at the hotel. It was nice to see you like everyone else.
Yeah.
And then Sunday morning.
Yeah.
We had some breakfast.
I hit the gym. I said if we meet for breakfast. And we met our executive producer, which was nice.
Yes.
And got some details on the show.
And it was cool because I was the first one at the building because it was around noon and I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, I'm not going to just sit in the hotel and watch a movie or stroll around the Inner Harbor.
Right.
Which is something someone might do.
Right.
I certainly wasn't going to go back to the casino. So I went to the building and it was very, I don't know, cathartic? Is that the
word? Yeah.
You know, it was just the production guys are there, and it was quiet, and it was just nice to be in the building and knowing that the show, you know, it was all pretty much all set up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those guys get there like
ungodly.
Some ridiculous
They're time. The MVPs of that whole thing.
They are. And so, just sitting around and... So as guys were coming in, the ones that I hadn't seen Saturday night and some that I hadn't seen when I went down a month or so ago.
Right. For the anniversary.
It was nice. It was just really nice seeing everyone. And compared to my, you could speak on this a lot better than I can, but compared to my little experience at the last bubbleized one,
right,
this was just normal.
It was I mean, the criteria was if you had your vaccine, you were still assigned a locker room, but it was CDC guidelines. It was if you could produce your vaccine and let the commission know you had your vaccine, you were allowed to move throughout the building as you please. If you did not, you were restricted to certain areas. And you still had to take a rapid test. You still had to take a test ahead of time. You know, so just from a pain in the butt perspective, there's definitely incentive to get your vaccine because you don't have to spend, you know, the amount of time waiting to get the test, waiting for the positive or the negative, waiting for this, waiting for that. If you have the vaccine, you don't have to do anything. If you haven't had the vaccine yet, you still got to wear a mask. So, you know, there's that piece of it also where... and those are the commission's rules. Those are not Ring of Honor's rules. So, yeah, but if you had the vaccine, it was pretty much business as normal.
It was nice. It was nice when the door, I was there when the doors opened.
And there was a line.
Yeah.
People were hungry. Line. Yeah, around the corner.
Got to see some old friends, Greg H.
I saw Greg H. I saw Courtney Jean.
Courtney Jean.
I saw Mary Kate. Yeah. Ryan Sullivan was there.
Right. And Terry.
Oh, Terry the streamer guy. Yeah.
As well as some other fans. You know, I never expect anyone to come up and say, you know, but a number of people, you know, came that I don't, who I can't name, mm-hmm. said, oh, can I get a picture with you, Mr. Silkin, or whatever they said, excuse me.
Yeah.
It was nice. And it was nice to feel the place, you know, alive again.
Yeah. And how about that attendance? Over 1,200.
Yes.
In bubble seating, where you couldn't just buy a two-pack, you couldn't buy a one-pack, which I think, you know, again, that was Maryland Commission, Ring of Honor working together. I think the next time we go there, I think it's going to be even bigger because you'll probably be able to buy a 2Z or a 1Z or a...
You should be able to.
Yeah, at this point. It's that way in Philly. You can buy a 2 or a 1 or right. however many you want. Yeah.
And where else we got? We got Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. Death Before Dishonor. And the main event is already announced as far as I know. You know, the main event, we are going to see the women's championship be decided. At least that's the main event to me. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it goes last on the pay-per-view is sort of irrelevant to me. I think that's the big attraction at that one. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And wait a minute. Let me see if I can remember. Flip Gordon is announced for Philly.
Night one.
For the belts against Bandito.
Against Bandito, our new champion.
And there's going to be a cage match.
Cage match on night two, which is Taven versus Vinny. The final, the last stand, they're calling it.
The last stand.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good couple of announcements. But anyway, back to...
Yeah, back to Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah. Great night. I got to walk out in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it was fun. The show was good. We could go through the matches. Ian stuck me on commentary during
you were great.
The Pure Rules match. See, what was really going on was we had spoken earlier. There was a word going around that Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
The
great John.
The great John, yeah.
Who they are terrific.
Love John, yeah.
That guys were going to go over there for some of their great seafood and some refreshments. And so I had this decision to make if I was going to go home.
Right, yeah.
Or if I was going to go out, I could crash in Baltimore. So I went over to Ian between matches trying to ask him because it's hard to get to talk to him. He's got the headphones on, so you got to pick your spots. And I guess I picked the wrong spot because he sort of just waved me to come on to the platform.
And Caprice held up the headphones.
Right. And suddenly, you know, and I was giving him the no. I get nervous. You know, I just get nervous.
You were wonderful, though.
I don't know how wonderful I was.
Yeah.
He was throwing me softballs. I think the highlight of my commentary was when you were talking or were talking about the geographical credentials of Jonathan Gresham.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, I remember hearing him on an interview about all that schlepping.
Yeah.
And Caprice Coleman cracked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. And there were new tag team champions
new
also.
Tag champs. And before we get to that, Mike Bennett thought that was planned. And Mike Bennett loved you being on commentary.
Well, so it's very kind of him.
Yeah. So just to show you what a great impartial judge Mike Bennett. New tag champs. Yeah, Homicide and Chris Dickinson, Force of Nature, and new TV champ, Dragon Lee. And I thought Kenny was going to get involved, but he just kind of came down, watched the match, and it was all Dragon Lee.
Yeah, and so last but not least...
the big one.
Yeah, Bandito getting the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Right. And if you haven't seen the footage of Kerry presenting the belt that's on this week's Week by Week, you must have been scared out of your mind.
Well, you could see the footage if you get the regular pay-per-view.
Right.
Of me getting the shit scared out of me by Roosh and being sort of stuck in the corner and not knowing where to go.
And Todd covering you up a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice to, when everything settled down after that attack by Roosh and his buddies, it was nice to be able to give Bandito the belt and see the emotion from him.
Yeah.
Legitimate.
It meant something. I mean, it means a lot, I think, to anybody, but you could tell.
He was crying.
He was.
Happily.
And it's funny because Roosh attacked him, and so did Bestia and Kenny King, but I don't know if it was Dragon Lee didn't touch him. And Dragon Lee made sure he was all right. So okay. I wonder if there's anything going on there. But Dragon Lee got emotional, too, when Bandito had the belt with him. So, yeah, Bandito, I mean, here's a guy, not that we're not proud of all our champs, but... getting the word out about vaccines, taking to the streets in Mexico City, getting grandmas vaccinated, took the belt to his own grandma today. There's a great picture on Instagram. You can go through his feed. He's a guy who's doing the right thing and time again. And it's always good to have someone like that to root for. You know, he's a real baby face, a real life hero, you know, you can look up to.
Yeah. And I don't even think he's been... discovered yet.
Right.
He hasn't blossomed completely.
Right.
How can you say that? Carrie, he's a champ. But, you know, I think we've seen, you know, it's like he's like one of the best kept secrets.
Absolutely.
As far as, you know, really good ass kicking wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know.
She's strong for his size, too.
Madison Square Garden, when he stacked up Ishimori and Dragon Lee and did a backflip off the top rope. I mean, that's over 300 pounds that he did a backflip with, did a moonsault with. Probably the strongest guy pound for pound in Ring of Honor. And I think you're right. I think the pandemic, you know, he was gaining a lot of steam as we went, you know, came back in 2020. But pandemic stopped everything. And I'd love to see him versus Mark Haskins. I'd love to see him versus...
Yeah, there's so many.
Him versus Flip Gordon is going to be awesome. You know, if he can hang on to the title, he's got a whole bunch of dream matches. And I don't think he's going to be a secret for much longer.
Well, I decided to get out of there mm-hmm. and drive home, knowing the coast would be knowing that most likely the roads would be clear.
Right.
And I was right. So it was a very fast 36 hours, but
yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good. And then you were there.
Yeah.
For an additional couple of days.
Two more days. And
is that a secret?
No. We taped a lot of the women's tournament. And that went even better than I think anybody's most optimistic projections could have went. These women brought it. And it's something that I'm really proud to be a part of. I'll let the cat out of the bag a little bit. I don't, you know, I was a helping hand in some of the women's division things that happened prior to this. And it was something where it felt like sometimes it started, sometimes it stopped. And, you know, to have somebody like Maria, who has more experience than I do, and to have somebody like Bobby Cruz, again, who has more experience than I mm-hmm. do, to be able to get the buy-in of everybody that's involved is really exciting about the women's division. Because Maria said in the interviews, you know, we're not doing this unless we do it right, unless we get the talent in, unless we get the veterans, the blue chippers, and everything in between. And we're jumping on a really good foot with this tournament. And I'm excited to see what happens. I hope Quinn gets in. Quinn is out because she lost to Mandy this week on the watch along.
But, I saw that.
But I'm hoping Maria makes things right. We'll see.
We'll see.
And we all hope Maria makes things right.
You can tell the people we had a clicking emergency.
We had a clicking emergency. Yeah, the paranoia of the wildfires led to some conspiracy theories about Carrie's heating and HVAC unit.
There was infernal clicking going on.
There was.
Click, 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 click. And I know that sound.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, the heat's not on. Maybe it's my chair.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, we found out the heat was on. Probably cost me $600 in the last 3 months.
Because you're fighting with the air conditioning in the other room.
Right.
Oh, God.
And I don't like it real cool anyway. You know, real cold anyway. Yeah. But, yeah. You never know it's going to make him laugh. That's why I wanted us to get with the clicking. Well, we left off with the women's division.
Yeah, the women's division. Quinn, we love Quinn.
Yes, we do love Quinn.
Hope she finds a way to get in the tournament because she's been robbed. You know, that's what we saw this week on television.
Why is Mandy so mean?
Yeah, we used to hang out. I don't know what's her deal. I don't know.
So
being mean to Quinn like that, but
while you and I were in Baltimore,
yeah,
our producer AJ went down to the Myrtle Beach area.
Have
you ever been there?
Not to Myrtle. I've been everywhere in South Carolina but Myrtle Beach.
I've never been to either Carolinas.
Really?
So what I'm curious about is the I have a lifetime, especially from childhood on, with the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah.
As we've spoken about previously, my shore spot as a child, mm-hmm. my parents would go down to, and we talked about this on an episode of Last Stop Penn Station, but that's okay. They would go down to Bradley Beach for some reason. Now, we're talking the early 60s and prior to that. For some reason, Bradley Beach, so you got Asbury, mm-hmm. excuse me, Ocean Grove,
okay,
Bradley Beach, Belmar.
Yeah.
And then you go down from there with
Atlantic Point City, Pleasant.
Well, the Point Pleasant, Manasquan, Seaside,
mm-hmm.
trying to, but right within close proximity. So for some reason, Bradley Beach, from my parents' generation, attracted Jewish families. And my parents, anyone who listens to this podcast, they were not religious Jews,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't looking to only hang out with Jewish families.
Sure.
But just, it was in the blood to go to Bradley Beach, which wasn't a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
Because then I would get to go to, as my father and mom would take me to Asbury Park.
Ooh.
At night. Now we're talking late 60s.
Yeah.
Asbury. And there were some music and some bars, but nothing like the 70s.
Yeah.
That really wasn't spoken about. But the amusements were fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the casino pier and the other side.
Was Pinball big yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, Madame Marie's.
Oh,
was
yeah.
There.
Bruce's. Yeah, Bruce's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was just that like half mile strip of Asbury Park that had all the crappy. Oh, and then there was a casino pier and there was this other building. And you know the building I'm talking about because you've gone to the Stone Pony.
Oh, hundreds.
There's a square. They may have ripped it down, but it had, you know, the carnival funny face.
Oh, the fun house.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was a huge pinball, skee ball, fun house. Same with the casino pier. Yeah, they had a merry-go-round. But then on the boardwalk in Asbury, as well as most of the Jersey Shore points, and you could tell me about your experience, they had the games, just like in at the Allentown Fair coming up, they had the games of no chance.
Right.
Actually, there were some that you had to have a winner.
Right. Yeah, like the races with the water guns. Somebody's got to win.
Right. Or
yeah.
They would. And before we went on the. So, AJ, did you see anything like that?
Yeah, they had some games, but it wasn't a lot like Jersey.
They didn't have the wheels and stuff?
Oh, the wheels.
Right. Now, what shore did you go to, Ian?
We were diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Wildwood, New Jersey family.
Okay.
And we'd go to Cape May, but we'd always go to the Wildwood Boardwalk.
So back in the day on the Wildwood Boardwalk, mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, they would have like these wheels.
Still do,
For like not only like with candy.
Yeah, right now it's only candy, but it didn't used to be just candy.
Well, it used to have anything from cigarettes. Right. Cigarettes was super popular.
Yeah, tons of cigarettes, yeah.
And
up through the late 90s. This isn't something that went away in the 70s. This is through, I was alive and cognizant of this.
Well, yeah, so I don't think they would have that in...
And they used to, I mean, and they would entice you too. They'd have like PlayStation 5, but it would be one spot on the board. So then they would say guaranteed winner, but it'd be like a $5 buy-in and you'd win like a Snicker bar. And they would, you know, there'd be spots for the whole case or the whole box, but you know, you'd pay $5 to get like a 50-cent Snickers or something.
What was the game?
It was the spinner wheel.
Okay.
Yeah. So they would have the different spots marked by colors and things.
And they also, didn't they have the, like the gun where you try to shoot the star out?
Oh, yeah.
Or the, of course, the darts.
The darts and the balloons. Right. And
the milk.
The milk bottles, but also the crates, the basket woven crates.
Oh, those things.
With the softballs. Now, that one looks like it's the easiest one of all time. But it's,
don't forget the thing with the fishing.
To get the ring. And the ring.
To lift up the bottle.
All right. Or the ring toss where you try and hook the bottle top.
What about the money toss?
The money? I don't know that one.
Yes, you do.
Do I? Okay.
It's for dishes.
Oh.
They still have it
at the fairgrounds.
They even have it in Allentown.
Yeah.
Where you literally throw your money away. And like, it's genius because anything, it used to be that you were throwing dimes.
Yeah, they've upgraded to quarters, I think.
Is that an upgrade or a downgrade? I mean,
if they never want to make it harder.
They're sleecing.
No, it makes it less possible.
The sleecing scale. These are games of no chance. They still have that, the coin toss, and they still have that... Oh, here's the good one they have. You ever see this thing where it's like literally plastic ducks going around?
Oh, yeah.
Pick one.
You pick one and you see what your prize is. Yeah. The least chance. Yeah.
They'll have like a beautiful.
A bevy.
You know, a beautiful, 27-inch television.
Right. A PlayStation 5, Xbox.
Right.
But you get candy, or you get a fun size bar, or
yeah. So,
how about the ones? Remember you there? And this was up until a couple of years ago. You get fish. You get live fish.
Oh, don't they still have those?
They might. I mean, that always made me sad, getting the live fish.
I've gotten the live fish.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've
you bring it home, yeah.
Right. Sometimes they lived.
Yeah.
A few days.
Yeah, we had a couple that lived a while, you know, but. It feels like they shouldn't be able to do that.
Well, it's within all that tawdriness, there's still some kind of charm to it.
Yeah.
You know, I will, especially after last year, after not being able to attend the Allentown Fair because they didn't have it.
Right.
This year's Allentown, you know, I always go to make sure that they're, you know, that... In case they have any oddities.
Right.
And last time they did, the last live one, they had an actual freak show on a performance stage.
Oh, wow.
And I had my god kids with me.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to see them and take some pictures with the stars.
Yeah.
So maybe this year Allentown will have... You know, they used to have the 27-inch, the world's smallest woman.
Yeah, we've talked about her before, yeah.
And they would have other stuff, but over the years, it's diminished. Last year, they didn't even have the Bozo Bounce.
Oh, no?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the dunk tank?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That one seems like the least mean, you know, if we're talking about... because you're just getting somebody wet, you know. It's not like,
yeah, but the guy's insulting.
Well, you know, it'd be good to put it there. Brian Johnson, you put
he'd
Brian
be good, or Bobby Drew. Bobby. Brian Johnson would say, AJ, Brian Johnson was the wrestler that referred to me as an old relic during the card. Very nice of him. So Brian Johnson would at least have witty things, right, or, you know, snappy insult. If Bobby was our beloved friend, Bobby Cruz, our ring announcer, he might listen to this. He might not. If he's listening, he'll laugh. Bobby would be up there. Particularly, can you imagine?
Oh, with that Rhode Island accent,
if he
too?
He had just been dunked.
Oh,
and now,
yeah,
he's got to get back.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he's like, fuck you. Fuck you. You know?
They would not be creative. They'd be anger-driven. Come on, you asshole.
Right. You're only supposed to say, you throw like a girl.
Right. Or that I'm mad at him. He told me to bring my glove. I thought I was gonna have a catch with him. I brought my glove. I came right from the game. I brought my glove. He didn't have a pitch with me. I feel like my dad has let me down. My wrestling dad has let me down.
What was the thing about the catch?
He wanted to have a catch, and then he didn't bring his glove.
When is there time for a catch?
Yeah, we could have went in the parking lot at the maybe during our lunch break or after the event. But he was got me all excited. Thought I was going to throw with him. Nope. Anyway, let me down. But we're going to dunk him in the dunk tank.
You'll dunk him in the dunk tank. I'm just trying to think. With all that Jersey Shore stuff, and maybe you could tell me about your Wild experience.
Yeah.
They, except for Atlantic City,
mm-hmm,
When the first casino opened,
77-ish, yeah.
Except for Atlantic City, they wouldn't have any oddities or freaks on the Jersey Shore. Did you see any in Wildwood?
No, but they'd have the fun house with the mirrors that would distort you, and they'd have like the weird zoo that would kind of make you sad. Like it would have like snakes and stuff, and it was like you're kind of like, I guess a snake is fine in here, but anything bigger. No, there was never any. I saw Siamese twins. I met Siamese twins for the first time in Allentown.
In Allentown,
yeah.
Wow, how did I miss that?
That was like early 90s. I remember.
Right.
That's a lasting memory because you meet somebody with two heads and you don't.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was neat. But you don't forget that, especially when you're 6 or 7. But they never saw any oddities on the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Yeah, never.
Well, Atlantic City, I think I went down there with my grandmother one time. I did, because I saw the diving horse.
Oh.
You know about the diving?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
And AJ and I are currently watching Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, yeah.
With Steve Buscemi.
I've dabbled.
It's a really good show.
Yeah.
Now, that's the 20s.
Right.
But when my grandmother took me, God, it had to be, well, geez, she passed away. I mean, it had to be like I was little. Anyway, it was in the 60s some point. The Steel Pier in Atlantic City, they would have like almost a vaudeville type.
Wow.
You know, they would have some kind of music.
Yeah.
Maybe a grade B or a grade D Monkees or Drifters or whomever.
The Association.
Some
maybe.
Band that might have had a single at some point or two. And no matter what, and maybe they'd have some kind of juggler, some kind of circus kind of thing, but they always had the diving horse.
Wow.
And I remember seeing it, and I knew it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I think my parents, my mother wouldn't like it.
Right.
She didn't like it. We talked about when I went to that Ringling Brothers and at the old garden, and I got to go to my mother didn't want my dad to let me go to the freak show.
Yeah.
I was maybe about It wasn't like I was 6 or 7, right, with my parents shoving me in to see Siamese twins. That was
That was my older brother, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no way your mom would have allowed that.
No, that was my older brother. Yeah.
Right. So, but anyway, so yeah, my mom didn't want me to go see any freaks. Be that as it may, there we were. The Diving Horse went beyond a freak. It was like a time-honored tradition. It was there forever.
Forever and ever. It only went away in the 90s or late 80s, I think?
I'm not even sure, but it went for a long time.
Yeah.
But anyway, they lifted the horse up, and there was on an elevator, and there was a lady on its back, and it got to the top. Now, my 7 or 8 year old head was saying, "Ooh, the horse is gonna like dive." as if his beautiful long front legs are gonna go out. Well, no, they just slipped the damn
out from underneath.
Well, he doesn't fall straight down. It's just on an angle.
Oh, okay.
And he slides. I guess they get used to it. You know, they get used to it. But yeah, and the girl's on his back, and everyone claps, and
she
takes a bow, and the horse gets out of the tank. And
how high do you think it was?
Really?
Was it 20 feet, 30 feet?
It couldn't have been more than 20 feet.
Okay. I mean, that's still...
I mean, it's a big animal. You don't want him breaking his legs.
Right. How high do you think the pool was?
I don't know. I mean,
got to be at least 10, right?
Yeah, you know, there was a horse race recently.
Yeah,
with an accident. It was in Monmouth, Haskell.
Yeah,
everyone was okay, but we know how, you know, they certainly don't want to hurt the animals. Anyway, they pulled it off, but it was a classic. There were other things on the Atlantic City Boardwalk, and this wasn't so cool. They had this. In an in-glass thing, an in-glass apparatus, mm-hmm, and you would put a quarter in. It was a duck, and he had a name. You'd like to, and he had a piano.
A piano? Oh, wow.
You want to know what his name was?
Sure.
Duck Ellington.
That's good.
And if you put the quarter in,
yeah,
some nice food that he liked came out,
mm-hmm,
and to eat it, it would sort of fall on top of the piano keys, miniature piano keys.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So I got to see Duck Ellington.
Wow, what a celebrity.
Right. And there was another odd thing. And this has been done in other fairs.
Yeah.
It probably still goes on. The one I saw in Atlantic City. Now, this is another one of these things that you would say, there's no way I would run away.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter who you are, you run away. What is it? You pay your dollar to see Zamburu.
Oh.
You never heard about Zamburu?
No.
Zamburu is a, I think they had it as a wild man.
Oh, wow.
Who was going to, in your eyes, you know, found in the jungles of Africa, in front of your eyes, is going to change from man to beast.
Oh.
Right in front of your eyes. And
this already sounds like meth.
We will give you your money back.
Oh.
If you're not, you know, if this is bogus. Anyway, so we go in there, we're probably stoned. And this is not when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And they did a gimmick with the lighting, and suddenly there's... Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you that the crazy man is like within like a bars, within like a jail.
Oh, geez.
And yes. And when the strobe lights go on and the recorded voice starts yelling, "Zamburu! Zamburu! Calm down!" And the guy is like banging on the so-called jail cell.
Right.
And when the strobe light hits and the voice gets louder and you really can't see what's going on, all of a sudden you hear a break and the bars break.
Oh, wow.
And the beast comes running at you.
Oh, geez.
And everyone runs. Nobody stands there.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you hung around, you'd find someone who stood there.
Right.
Or someone who knew the trick.
Right.
But just to the... it's probably playing around at some of these carnivals.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Jeez, yeah.
You have my like 18 or 19 year old ass knowing that it's what it is.
Right.
To be scared.
Huh.
The second second oddest thing, speaking of the boardwalks of Atlantic City, there was a scalper. Ticket hustler, and you know who this is, one of the few you've met.
Oh, wow.
Not met, know about though.
Yeah.
The kid from Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Mountain.
Mike Mountain, yeah.
Yeah, and he was around for years. He preceded Freddie the Weeper.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm just trying, and there's more stories about Mountain. Like when he arranged a burglary at his own ticket agency.
Oh, Jesus. And this is a YouTube celebrity.
And a YouTube celebrity.
Yeah.
His weight, he was another one of these very tall, big guys. And during one of his heavier periods, he was one of these guys that had either a ton of money. You know, like Frank Sinatra's song, That's Life.
Mm-hmm.
You're riding high in April, shot down in May.
Right.
He would be like loaded with money or then balls on the street. And you know, he would work in offices and things would happen. And then he'd be hustling, you know, on the street. Anyway, speaking of boardwalks, you know, you ever go to the U.S. Open?
Yeah. Well, I've been to the ground, Arthur Ashe, yeah.
All right, well, there's that boardwalk
right.
from the 7 train.
Yeah.
Leading out towards, to get to the stadium.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, when Mountain was hustling, and he was, like, huge, 400 pounds, he would take one of those miniature fold-out seats,
mm-hmm.
and he would just sit on it. In the middle of the boardwalk.
What?
Meanwhile, Freddie was like hiding a mile and a half away. Oh, the heat's gonna get me. And Mountain would just be all for his
big as 400
you please. Pound splendor. Who needs tickets? Who's selling tickets? You rat bastards. So yeah, but so you got Mountain on that boardwalk, but I discovered Mountain on the boardwalks of Atlantic City.
Really?
This is like 20 years ago, maybe a little less. But he was back in the business. He was in the business. He had an office, and I'd known him through Freddie and just through doing some business with him. And anyway, I was down with a bunch of my friends. We used to go to the Tropicana a lot.
Sure.
Back in our heyday of going to Atlantic City. So...
That was the nicest one for a while.
It was a good one. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Caesars was nice, but mm-hmm. we just got familiar there. And we made some good friends with some of the people that worked there. But anyway, down the boardwalk a bit, as you went towards the convention hall,
mm-hmm.
they had these legitimate... reflexology back rub places.
Oh, okay.
Not a Wacky Shack.
Yeah.
There was no...
I don't know what you mean by Wacky Shack, Carrie.
Well,
no,
that's the hand. Like yeah. One time the girl said, would you like the hand release? Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And our producer's laughing. The popular... That's over there. Yeah, she could have said, you want me to jerk you off? But no, instead of that, the polite or the hand, pardon me, sir. So, but this wasn't one of those places. So they had the a line of they had massage tables.
Mm-hmm.
They had the chair massage gimmicks,
Yeah.
And then they had the Lazy Boys. If you just wanted the very popular foot rub.
Right.
Right. So I was getting a chair massage deal. And it was during the day, and maybe we had been to the beach, and I just didn't want to gamble. Better to spend $30 for 30 minutes and then just, you know, $30 in 1 second in the casino. So I wasn't really aware, but I sit in the chair. So your face is in the hole, right?
Right.
And your knees are on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to me, I was right next to where the Lazy Boys were. So what, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can't really see what's going on in the room. So as I'm sitting there during my nice 30-minute rub, about 10 minutes into it, I hear someone go, 1 hour. And I hear the chair being, you know, you could hear someone getting in the chair. A lot of noise and movement. And so I'm just enjoying my chair massage. So this person who's next to me, but I can't look at them, besides their entrance, I'm hearing this slurping, like, and simultaneously between slurping that tremendous, you ever get a good foot rub?
Yeah.
Yeah, that great orgasmic joy of the foot rub. So it's like, you know, I'm like, what the fuck is this? So my 30 minutes had elapsed. And as I get up, I'm like, mountain. And what was making the noise, you might wonder.
Yeah, what?
Well, here's an item from the Jersey Shore that I know you saw in Wildwood, because it's always been a staple. That Coors, K-O-H-R, yeah, the orange.
The swirl.
Right. Yeah,
delicious.
The creamsicle style.
So good.
Well, Mountain.
Yeah.
Purchased, it was like a.
Don't tell me he bought the gallon.
It had to be a half.
Yeah, half gallon. Oh, my
right.
God.
So he, was just.
I mean, no one's going to. Who's going to stop him?
He was just enjoying that. And so then I just, he's like, well, where's, the first thing he would ever say, or say like Mama Pretzel, no matter where we are and what we're doing, he would say, where's the weeper? Like as if Freddie was attached to me,
yeah.
You know, and Natasha, Mama Pretzel, where's Freddie? I was thinking about her, and we did a whole episode on, but I left off a really funny story about her.
Yeah.
We were talking about her Atlantic City thing,
with
the Stones, and how she lost, how she went crazy.
Yeah.
And other, how she made $40,000 one time at
Texas.
Grateful Dead show or
holy
something.
Holy crap.
Whatever it was. It was some kind of stadium sellout.
Yeah.
Might have been the Stones again.
Selling the burners.
Yeah. But the one time, this is how crazy and sick this woman was. She's still around. It was in the 90s. And I remember there was this strike. Well, you were a little boy, but there was the strike season in 93.
94.
Four.
Yeah.
And after the strike came back, the fans were a little sour.
Yeah, 95 was rough.
And the Yankees weren't good in 94. You know, they were the middle of the pack team.
They were good in 94. 93, they weren't great. 94, they started.
But they didn't make the playoffs.
No, because it wiped
well,
out.
Where I'm going with this is they had a Phil Rizzuto to attract.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they needed
people
back.
Phil Rizzuto
in,
night, suddenly.
Yeah.
You know, fine. So we go there to honor the scooter. So at the old. Were you ever at the old stadium?
Oh, plenty of times, yeah.
You know, remember the circular staircases?
Oh, yep.
And you could smoke.
Yeah.
And so we're inside, whoever I was with, and we go up by home plate, and there was a lot of people looking for tickets. Uh-huh. It was an evening game, and there were a lot of buyers. And you know, the game was a legit sellout, mm-hmm. and there was like hundreds of people looking for tickets. Anyway, we go in behind home plate, and we go up the first level, and probably I was smoking cigarettes back then, so we're smoking by the. You could smoke right in the stadium.
Yeah, you could smoke in the concourses until.
But maybe. You could smoke in your seats up until.
Probably 2000.
Anyway, yeah. We're by that. So yeah. We're looking off the you know what the big bat is?
Yeah.
There's a prop. I'm not describing this very well for our fine listeners. There's a promenade of the old stadium. It was like a long.
Like right center-ish.
Concourse.
Yeah.
That led from right center to home plate. This mm-hmm. is outside the stadium.
Right.
And it was like a famous thing to say would be, I'll meet you by the baseball bat.
Gotcha.
There was hundreds of people waiting to meet their friends mm-hmm. by the baseball bat. But anyway, so I'm on this first level up, which is about maybe, I don't know, 16 feet above. Really good. Maybe really... You asked me about the horse before.
Right.
it was a very good vantage point to watch all the activity.
One horse life.
So I'm looking at this scalper and that scalper, and I'm just watching the action. And here's like, I go, Natasha. Yeah. And this is the one time she relinquished from saying, where's Freddie? She said the second thing she would always say.
Oh.
You know what that is. Now I'm in the stadium. And she looks up at me and goes, what you got? As if I would have went into the game with extra tickets. Right?
Huge market.
Inside right, the game. Right. And yeah, she was just, it's just classic. But yeah, those are some good boardwalk stories. For the summer, somehow we covered some shore and
yeah,
carnival-esque summertime boardwalk stuff.
Well, I had an idea.
Happened by magic.
I have an idea. I think we should do a live video, maybe not live, but we should do a video tour of the Allentown Fair this year.
We should
to show the fans what they may be missing if they're not going to the Great Allentown Fair, which I love. I love going there.
Do you?
It's fun. Yeah. As a kid, I got that feeling your mom talked about where it was kind of like, ooh, it's that feeling in your stomach where they're mistreating the animals, maybe, you think, even if they're not.
You didn't see those freaks last time?
No,
the actual show?
I haven't been since maybe 2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
I go every year. Go there to scout it.
I take back. I took Sarah there in 2011.
You went. They had some good shows over the years.
Well, I've seen Def Leppard there a couple times. Right. I saw Jimmy Eat World when they were big.
And Alice Cooper a few years ago.
Saw the WWF there.
Right.
A couple ZZ times.
Top a while back. Yeah. Rush.
Yeah.
Right, we went to that. Rush
they Kid there. Rock the one year. He was a big hit there. So
this year, not so. It's
last year they're going to have the Impractical Jokers, which they've gotten popular. But the
there's no good rock.
Yeah.
Same with our beloved Music Fest.
Yeah, it's kind
Did
of.
Did you see that lineup?
Yeah, not as great this year.
Unless there's a name there that you know that.
I didn't see one that popped off the page. You know, that's the thing, though. Music Fest, though, they bring enough people that there's always somebody that plays there 1 year, and then 2 years later, they're a megastar. So that's what's kind of cool about Music Fest. You kind of don't know who the megastar is going to be. And it's usually not the headliner, right? It's usually somebody that comes in and plays one of the little cafes or little bars, and then shoots off.
Well, you know what? There is one good one. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, from New Orleans.
Oh.
It's like an all-star New Orleans jazz band. You know, and it's like a big band. And I think they open up the fair. And it's only like $20. That'd be worth going to.
Yeah.
Like a classic legend. And I'm shocked, actually.
Don't know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rotating cast of members.
Is it kind of like the Ringo Band where they have like...
Sort of. And there's probably, if you knew the better than I did, like if Mike G would be able to say, oh, there are certain guys that have, you know...
This guy's with this band or he's played for him or with him.
Or guys just within the framework of the Preservation Hall. This guy's been there for 30 years.
Ah, gotcha.
This, you know, so... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, there's got to be something, some good music.
Yeah. Well, here's a fun thing I'm going to drop. I was talking to Gary Juster, and right next to the Allentown Fair, there's Ag Hall. And I've talked to Gary. You know, we're coming back to Philly. Very excited. But Ring of Honor's never run Allentown. And wouldn't it be fun to have a throwback night in Allentown, Pennsylvania at Ag Hall?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So,
it's the right size building.
It's the perfect size for the level of crowds that Ring of Honor has right now. So, I gave the contact information that I have to Gary, and we'll see what happens. So, I mean, never say never. I am maybe 10% chance or 5% chance, but if it's cheap enough, I mean, they have.
Well, that would be on our side.
Yeah, I'm sure it's. I'm sure it's relatively low priced. And Allentown, when WWE was here, they practically filled the PPL Center.
Well, I went the last time before the shutdown.
Big attendance.
Yes.
Yeah, Allentown's ripe for wrestling.
I think you were out of town that night.
I was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Zach and I were somewhere. Or maybe Sarah was somewhere and I was home with the kids. But yeah, that's, let's bring Ring of Honor to Allentown. Fuck it.
That's right.
Hog's dick.
Oh, do we have time? Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
I asked you before, if you had to have a business.
Yeah. I've been stewing on this one.
With a disgusting name.
Yeah.
Like a, well, anyway. Yeah. There used to be this, back in my old hometown, we used to go to the town tavern. And there was another, anyway, somehow through, this is, I might have came up with it, but somehow, instead of saying we're going to Town Tavern, or we would call it Corey's because it was the Corey family owned it, somehow it turned into the Ginder Pit.
Oh, geez.
Shall I say that song again? Yeah, Ginder Pit.
Oh, geez.
It's pretty disgusting.
That is disgusting. Yeah. Oh, God. What did that even mean?
You know, like a hocker.
Right? Is that Yiddish? Is it? No. Is that...
You know, like when you spit.
Oh, like a loogie.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right.
That's what it means.
Oh, man.
So we turned it into somehow to add some class to it. We call it, ooh, where are you going? We're going to Corey's original Ginder Pit. What were you thinking of?
Oh, geez. I was thinking of the Rusty Muffler.
Okay.
Would be one that I came up with. Anything with the word gunt, G-U-N-T. I heard that said once. I don't know what it means. Could be foul. That's why I apologize. Maybe something with beaver involved. The unkempt beaver.
Beaver's gunt.
There you go. Beaver's gunt.
If you go to Beaver's Gut, the next night we'll go to the Ginder original Pit. Ginder Pit.
The original, though, except no invitations. There's the one often duplicated. Right.
I mean, oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, forget what happened to me. It was AJ and I have been watching Boardwalk Empire, and I was also watching Deadwood. And speaking of Ginders, you know, this is when the spittoon was still king.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was everywhere. How gross is that?
Spittoon.
Yeah.
Chamber pot.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
I mean, it was just the way it was.
Remember the urinal trough? I mean, those were still around.
Those were gross.
Yeah. But the Allentown Fair had them as of last time I went.
Yeah, but they weren't in a square.
Oh, no. Veterans like, Stadium used to have the square. Used to
I
walk
wouldn't
in,
go in that, even as a kid.
It would be, yeah, it would be like the rectangle.
Right, they have that at Wrigley.
Oh, I've never been.
Horrible.
Yeah, I'm going to get out there.
It'd be a peeper's delight.
Our good friend Peter Gazer would like to go out there. Oh, man. Fenway still has them in certain bathrooms.
I can't believe they still have
the trough, yeah.
I can't believe it.
As of 20, when was I last there? 2016?
I'll have to ask Brian Malonis.
Okay.
For Double B.
Yeah. I was in a trough on the first baseline.
I won't go in no trough. I mean, a trough by yourself is one thing.
A trough by yourself is luxurious. That's you have all that. You can pick any space.
Well,
to pee.
I mean, not when you're in the square style.
Get down on the square.
You never know what you're going to get on the Last Stop Penn Station. That's why we like doing this.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. Who would have expected to talk about the... We had no plan to talk about the diving horse or the great Zambura, the wild man, or the Siamese twins.
Right, yeah. And I apologize if I got the term wrong. It was one or two individuals that both of their heads, it was essentially a two-headed person, more or less. I think that's a Siamese twin.
Well, if you
conjoined
if they hadn't really had conjoined twins.
Maybe it was a conjoined twin.
It would still be super rare.
Right. Yeah, there's not too many.
Well, right. We'll have to do
research.
Well, I have researched about... Ang and Chang, the original Siamese twins, they shared the same, they both got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they had like tons of kids.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how this went on.
Yeah.
You know, and I complain that my back hurts.
Right. Yeah, and you don't have to share a body with anybody.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but they lived long lives.
Awesome.
So you'll have to ask your mom or something about
it. Yeah, if they remember anything about it. Or maybe
that sounds bizarre, even for the 90s.
Yeah, I'll check out the Morning Call archive too. Maybe there's something in there.
Or maybe they'll be back for this season.
Maybe, yeah, big comeback. Who knows? Well, I can't wait to find out.
We have to have Gary Juster on here. And if he comes on here, he dealt. And I know somewhere in the annals of Last Stop Penn Station, we've discussed these two gentlemen, and you've seen these two guys. Ooh. We just talked about it. At the Allentown Fair. They would run the freak,
right? The Parkers,
the Ward Hall. Mm-hmm. You could YouTube Ward Hall.
Yeah,
and he had his drunken partner Chris Christ, and they had the small man with the big... Gary Juster knew this guy, too. He had the big goiter coming out the side of his neck, and he breathes fire.
Oh, wow.
And he went under the name of Poobah.
Oh, jeez.
You've seen him, I know.
Yeah, I would have had to.
AJ, you've seen him, too.
I'd gone to the fair for years.
Yeah, so. I'll show you a picture of the great Poobah. But Gary Juster had a deal with these guys.
Really?
Because they were somehow, Chris had a, we should get Gary on.
He had a promoter's license, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a toehold on some buildings in Florida.
Crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll have to find out more.
All right.
And see if Poobah came along.
Yeah, we'll ask Gary, he'll tell us. Gary, yeah. And we can keep on about running Ag Hall, bringing wrestling back to Ag Hall. So.
Well.
I look forward to that.
Well, please subscribe. Thank you. We missed you. We're back.
Yeah, hope you're having a great summer. We're in the swing of things. We're having fun, too. And we're let's see if we can get Gary on next week. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had George Napolitano lined up, but he'll come. But I think Gary would be really good.
Yeah.
We could ask him. He gets real freaked out when I bring up... I wanted to send him a pic. I had a nice picture of Poobah and the goiter.
Oh, geez.
No, I'm sending.
Yeah. Oh, poor man.
He lived a good long life.
Yeah, hope he got that settled before he passed. So,
I hope he didn't. kind of going into a Ginder fit.
To the Ginder fit, the original. At least to me, when hopefully it was the original. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Eric, who prepares all the show notes and things like that, and the timestamps and all that fun stuff. I want to thank AJ, our producer, yes, from Basan Creative Web Design. I want to thank you for listening to Last Stop Penn Station. We'll see you back here next week. Thanks, everybody.
We hail you for listening to Last Stop Penn Station podcast. Rate, review, like, subscribe, and share on your favorite platform. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or at laststoppennstation.com.